welcome to the Lookout Landing podcast. My name is John Troop, and I am the deputy managing editor here at Lookout Landing. And I am joined by two of my fellow writers here at LL. We have Kate Prusser, our managing editor.
Hello,
Kate.
Hello.
Excellent. And we also have Matthew Robertson, fellow staff writer. Matthew, how are you doing today?
Doing good. Doing good. I've braved the elements and I'm ready to heat things up podcast style.
Congratulations, everyone. We lived through Snowmageddon.
Indeed. It sounds like there is more snow coming later this week. Maybe. Maybe more people to crash outside of
Matthew's window.
On hills, but
yeah, someone crashed into a pole on my street and then they shut the whole street down and people are sledding down it. So it's been an exciting day in my neighborhood.
That is how Seattle should work, honestly. Like, I lived in Philly for a long time. We got a lot of snow. Those people know how to deal with it. Like, everyone has their bag of ice melt. Everyone knows what to... Like, they have snow protocol. We don't have snow protocol here. We never get it. Saw a charming illustration on King 5 today about what it takes for us to get snow. And it really is, like, there are so many variables, you know? It's like alchemy or something. So, I'm absolutely... Totally. It doesn't mean we're wimps. Like, we don't need any outsiders being like, back where I was from. We don't need any of that. We're not set up for the snow. It's not a snow measuring contest, okay?
Yeah. Well, and not, Seattle also has hills.
Yes. Like, yeah, that is true.
Yeah.
Like Rome, we are the city built upon seven hills.
Exactly. Exactly.
Been saying that.
Yeah.
So this week we're kicking off a series, if you will, on the podcast, from the brain of Matthew. We're going to be essentially previewing, detailing, and sort of worrying at times about each position group, general position group. Throughout the organization. So Matthew, do you want to sort of give us a sense of what we're going to be doing today and over the next few weeks?
Yes. So today we're going to be talking about the infielders in the Mariners organization, both on the current 40-man roster and the ones kind of cooking in the minor leagues. And this is going to be part of a series in which we look at every position group. So today's infielders, then later we'll do outfielders, starting pitchers, and bullpen. So if you want sort of like an audio complement to the 40 and 40 series that's on the website, you can come here.
And the top prospects series.
And the top prospects, mm-hmm. Yes. It's all weaved together mm-hmm. very nicely. And it did
like
come
alchemy,
from my brain. Like John said, it was my idea. So send all money to Matthew Robertson.
Or recriminations.
If you hate it, I can wear it.
You can. We'll put our Venmos in, and you can either send us things or request
or
money.
That seems like a great idea.
I was gonna say people put like their Venmo or like their Cash Apps in things. Like, you don't see many people requesting from those, and I think that's the next stage. That's our next stage of capitalism.
My favorite is like, wow, this tweet blew up. While you're here, hit the Venmo. And they put their Venmo link.
Mm-hmm. That's please, labor, baby. Pay
yeah,
for that
pay
labor.
Me for my content. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I made this joke for you.
You bet.
I would like to request money from Howard Schultz. Like, for every time he tweets, I would like to Venmo him and assess him money for the theft of the Sonics. Will be what I write in every single time.
Got him. That should put a stop to things pretty quickly.
Guys, don't worry. I solved Howard Schultz.
If every single person on Earth requests money from him, maybe we could put
maybe
a dent
we could
in his
get
account.
Him to shut up. Yeah, okay. That sounds... You know, I mean, in such times of political divisiveness, I'm glad that we can all get together and say, fuck Howard Schultz. Like, that just feels really good, I think, as a nation to all have something to agree upon, finally.
It's impressive how bad he fucked up. Like, there's...
Getting ratioed on every single one of your tweets is impressive.
Well, it's like, every... Like, you have to... In theory, almost in most situations, if you are successful, your hometown or whatever, like the place you became successful, will be proud of you.
Oh, and
will claim you. And it's like, there is nowhere that loves Howard Schultz. Like, man, yeah. So bad job by Howie.
Stop humanizing him. He's not Howie.
That's fair. I just remember Gary Payton hated him, and Gary Payton, especially for like 10-year-old me, was the absolute like final judgment of character.
If I had a choice between voting Howard Schultz for president and voting Gary Payton, 10-year-old me and 30-something-year-old me would make the same choice.
Can't go wrong with 2020. So Matthew, we've got our presidents covered, we've got our guards and forwards. Where are we gonna start? Where are we gonna start with the Mariners organization? Where should we take our first crack?
Yeah, I think when we look at the infield, and this is something that our Twitter followers noticed too, the point of intrigue is really that like first base DH logjam, because we basically have four guys competing for two spots, and one of them is Dan Vogelbach, who is out of options. So it's
a human logjam.
Yes, a logjam in more ways than one. Dan, we love you. Obviously, this is going to be
a Lincoln log cabin.
Sure. He's out of options. So like, this is literally like, you either have to play him or get rid of him. Like, there's no other way to slice it anymore. So it is kind of interesting how they like put themselves in this like ultimatum situation. I think you have to do Edwin at first, Bruce DH, and Vogie off the bench, and then Healy's got to go to AAA to start the season. Even if he like murders it in AAA, like, you have to see what Vogelbach can do. And I know it's tough because, like, you're not going to bench Edwin Encarnacion, obviously, but, like, something has to happen here, and the easiest solution is for Healy to be out of the equation.
Yeah.
So, do you think, is there a particular reason you would peg Encarnacion at first base and Bruce at DH there?
Oh, no, not really. I was just, using an example. That could go either way. I mean, neither of them are good at first base, but I think Encarnacion has actually played more first base than Bruce. Bruce is, like, an outfielder by trade.
And DePoto has said many times over this offseason that we are going to see Jay Bruce at left field. I mean, in a way, that could sound like a threat, probably, if he wasn't smiling.
Definitely weighs heavy on my mind.
I mean, and John, you've done a lot with, like, analyzing the spin of Jerry DePoto and whether he's the truthiness of him. But generally, when he says something like, Jay Bruce is going to play a fair amount of left field, I think that what we can take from that is right now the plan is Jay Bruce will play a fair amount of left field. I mean, I think we see Encarnacion at first DH, and I think maybe Vogie looping in there, and then Healy. I mean, he's got options, and he was terrible last year. Like, some things that DePoto has said have also made me... he said a couple of things that I thought pointed to Ryan being in AAA to work on some things.
I assume you're referring at least a little bit to the wanting to get back to controlling the zone.
Controlling the zone, for sure.
Yeah. That was actually very encouraging to me for a few reasons. One, as you said, just because it suggested that Healy actually, they wanted to make a point of emphasis on that with him, because he either has to hit for much more power or he has to learn to walk. And you can do that. That's difficult, but it's possible. We've seen players improve their discipline, but they don't, especially with the glut of players that they have already, he doesn't have to do it for the Mariners. And even if it's, kind of a season of whatever at the big league level, there are other players that can use it more. So,
I don't think Healy in AAA means like, oh, he's a failure. Like, I don't want it to be spun as like for Ryan and for the fans. Like, it doesn't mean that they've given up on him. It just means that kind of the opposite, actually. Like, we're trying to fix you, and the way to do that is to get you some at-bats against lesser pitching and hopefully let you focus on the finer points of your swing that you probably couldn't do if you were starting every day in the big leagues.
Right. I think if the team had been less competitive last year, we would have seen Ryan in AAA, maybe towards the end of the season. And I don't know. I mean,
yeah, there was that gamble at first base thing, which was weird. But like,
yeah,
that was in play.
That was great. I mean, he played one. I think he played like one game there. They moved him there like late in the game at one point. I think it was like a defensive sub, not as a defensive sub, but he like pinch hit a pinch ran or something.
Yeah, it happened. Gamble definitely did play first, but that obviously was not the long-term solution.
No, no. You want to get our 100 WRC plus slender long haired man over there.
Yeah. And I mean, say what you will, like Gamble makes outfield look a lot harder than I think it needs to be, but he's a decent outfielder. You know, when he's not giving you a heart attack.
I think the thing with Bruce is, I mean, he's a left-handed hitter. So you've got Bruce as a left-handed hitter. You've got Vogelbach as a left-handed hitter. You've got Healy and Edwin Encarnacion as right-handed hitters. So you could run out some lineups where Jay Bruce is hitting and starting typically against righties, and Healy maybe would start against lefties. Or if we were putting Healy in Tacoma, you have Jay Bruce even starting in the outfield against righties. And that gives Vogelbach some consistent play along with Encarnacion.
Right.
The problem then is you're not starting Domingo Santana consistently. And in theory, that's a much more, at least to me, and I would assume to the Mariners, that's a much more important person to be getting consistent reps.
Absolutely.
Because the potential, I mean, and in the short term, the potential value of Domingo Santana playing consistently and playing well is significant. And in addition to, if Domingo Santana starts tearing it up, I think that that's going to draw much more attention and much more, I guess you could trade Domingo Santana for much more than you could if Jay Bruce just suddenly started tearing it up in left field.
Right.
So,
and your farm is not short on outfield, and we're getting too much, I think, into talking about outfielders, but
yes,
your replacements for Domingo Santana are much deeper in your organization than they are, say, on the infield, which is what we're talking about today. So,
sure.
Yeah. If you guys, let's say they're both in the starting lineup, would you rather have Edwin play first or Vogelbach play first? Like, who do you trust more on defense between those two?
Oh, God.
I trust Edwin Encarnacion more. I would rather this year see Vogelbach play. Because that's...
Yeah.
Sorry, Kate, what would you say?
No, I agree. I mean, Vogie, I think, is probably more limited at first base. But I think that they thought that they could maybe flip Encarnacion. I think specifically they were looking at flipping him to whoever didn't get Cruz. And then that just...
Tampa said, we're fine with Avisail Garcia.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think, like, just the sluggishness of the free agent market overall, like, it really sounded to me like they were planning on moving him. And then just because he was the second best DH option on the market after Cruz, it's bizarre that no one thinks they can use him, that they haven't gotten good trade offers for him. So
yeah, he would hit 50 home runs in Houston. I'm sorry to speak that into the world. But.
No, absolutely. It's bizarre. And I wonder if, like, because Houston is guarding their prospects kind of jealously. They, you know, did not want to pay Miami's price for JT Realmuto, which seems to be astronomically high. Like, no one has been able to reach that price, which is a huge failure on Miami's part, to my mind. I mean, you've got one of the bottom-ranked farms. Just take your opportunity, you know? It's not going to be worth it to have him sitting around and not sell him off for the best that you can get. Like, at some point, you just have to take what you're going to get. So,
and a trade really would just make things a lot easier here. So just stay tuned, I guess, because I feel like it will happen at some point.
What I think we're waiting for at this point, because there doesn't really seem to be much, is we're waiting for spring training and for someone to get hurt. not necessarily a Mariner.
Which happens.
Although I guess that could happen. But another team that is a competitor to have someone get hurt. And
or for a Mariner to fall down the stairs again.
Yep.
Yes.
Very possible.
Indeed. So,
Nelson Cruz is good. Minnesota is icy.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Oof. First of all, no, we're not speaking that evil.
No. But just pointing it out.
So, yeah, we mentioned that Healy, he needs to figure out his walk issues probably at AAA, which leads into another guy who was kind of singled out, isn't the right word, but was mentioned by DePoto as someone who needs to control the zone. And that is, of course, D. Gordon, who had a 1.5 walk rate last year.
Ouch.
Yes.
Yeah.
Went an entire
eyes.
Month of the season without drawing a walk. Looked like at times he didn't fully understand the concept. Like, he didn't know that four balls does, in fact, get you the same thing as a single.
Mm-hmm. He did dance his way to first base at the end of that month when he finally got his walk.
That was great. At least he was a good sport about it.
He was. That's something you can always depend on from D. He's a good sport. But
yeah, I would have never guessed that he'd almost have as many home runs as walks. That was like pretty close, way closer than it should have been.
Yeah.
But he is gonna be the starting second baseman unless something crazy happens. And there is other options, like Tim Beckham could play second. Eventually, we might see J.P. Crawford or Shed Long, which I think leads to a question from our own Ben Thoen, who asked, who is the Mariners' everyday second baseman the next time they're trying to compete? Which is a pretty interesting question, I think, because that could be a number of years and a number of timelines until that actually happens.
Yeah. So, and this is where you get into the prospect talk a little bit. It's very different than at first base, basically, of Evan White is... he needs, I think, 1 year of really tearing it up at AA, and he's already gone to the Fall League. He's kind of shown what he has to do there. I think he has 1 year of AA, and then you test him for a little while in AAA, and he's pretty much ready to go after that. He is a polished product. There's nothing like that in the rest of the infield, which is a shame. So who is the next second baseman, I think, depends on what is going to shake out. These are a bunch of unknowns, right? Like, Beckham's an unknown. Long is an unknown. All of them, J.P. Crawford is an unknown. All of them kind of come with questions around them. You have Kyle Seager, too, and you're wondering how long he can... I look at that whole left side of the infield as a bunch of question marks. And I think you're going to have to watch them play to kind of get us a sense of, like, who's really coming along in their development, who's making a case. Because D is getting a little older.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, D's 30 now. He is kind of breaking down a little bit. Like, I don't think he's going to break another toe, but, like, that did happen last year, and it definitely affected him, especially for a guy whose whole thing is speed. Like, broken toe is a pretty bad injury to have.
You're not going to... I don't think it's going to be like Robinson Cano just over there still effortless at like 34, 35, whatever. I see the ceiling as much shorter for how long D can kind of hold up there, how long his bat can hold up at second base, which is obviously you have to bat a little bit more at second base than if the center field transition had held, so...
I don't want to give up on D, obviously. Like, I think there's still a decent player in there, but I think that when the day comes when the Mariners are in the race again, like, I think we're going to see a J.P. Crawford, Shed Long, middle infield combo. I think that's at least, like, the best possible route to becoming good again is having those two pan out and sort of hold down the shortstop, second base combo.
Yeah, and you've got Tim Beckham in there to kind of prop things up in case things go sideways. But if
and Beckham's
any
a good utility
fails,
guy too. Yeah, he can play all the infield spots and probably a corner outfield in a pinch, but hopefully it doesn't come to that.
Yeah, I'm a little worried about them talking so much about shed Long and increasing his positional flexibility, because that makes it sound like they're going to maybe stick him in the outfield. I don't know, but it's a little worrisome to me, at least.
I like it. I mean, it's worrisome in that he needs to hit to make it, and it can be challenging to sort of adjust fully as a hitter when you're also doing brand new things as a fielder. But we've seen from Houston and from the Dodgers, I mean, even from Boston with Mookie Betts playing all over the outfield and, you know, second base, you know, teams that have positional versatility. Yeah, the Cubs, mm-hmm. you know, teams that have positional versatility are teams that can do a lot more with the rest of their roster. And mm-hmm. We saw that not work, obviously, with D. Gordon very well last year. But that doesn't mean that it can't work with another player. And if you can have talented players who can, you know, on any given night, you can fill out your roster or your lineup with players playing all over that gets you good matchups and gets guys rest, that's ultimately, I think, going to be a really, that's just going to bring you a lot of success. And it also makes for entertaining, interesting games. And I think improves the value of having a longer bench. So that I like, but yeah. It is with the caveat that you need Shed Long to hit first and foremost. And he's not exactly a defensive stalwart at second base to begin with. No. So,
but maybe, yeah. Maybe Tim Beckham is. I mean, so I guess to come back to the question, I don't know what the next second baseman looks like when the Mariners are competitive. I think because there's no one on the farm that I've been watching for a long time, because there's question marks about everyone who they've brought in, you know, Shed Long doesn't have major league experience really significantly. Tim Beckham is, I think, a big question mark. He's a reclamation project in a lot of ways. And then you have de-aging. It's a little frightening. I think it's a little frightening.
Mm-hmm. I do think by 2020, by 2021, definitely, Shed Long is the starting second baseman. And I think by 2020, we see Shed Long on the opening day roster in sort of a utility kind of role at minimum, if D is still there. Because it just from what I've read from scouting, from what I've watched, like this is a guy who has hit at every level and with, you know, is essentially just 1 year away from being ready to go. And yeah. He's not going to probably be amazing, but he's going to be fine. And he's young and has maybe still more to grow and improve. So that, yeah. And that's more than we've had to say for the entire middle infield for a couple of years.
And D would still have some value off the bench if it came to that, where like mm-hmm. there's other people who are better than him and he has to just be like the late game pinch runner or like, mm-hmm. you know, can plug him in at second, short, center mm-hmm. if you need to. Like there's some value in that, even if it's not ideal for mm-hmm. a guy they traded prospect capital for.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Before we move to the left side of the infield, I would like to just insert a little bit of trivia that I've discovered during our last segment, which is related to the controlling of the zone. And that is that over the past 2 years, Ryan Healy has 49 home runs and 50 walks. So,
wow.
Does not surprise me.
Last year, he outwalked his homers, but he had more homers than walks the year before with the Oakland A's. Relative to D's work, they both could stand to improve the old eye.
Yeah, there's a lot of bounce back candidates on the 2019 Mariners, including third baseman Kyle Seager.
Nice segue. You bet it is. Nice segue.
Yeah, Kyle had his own injury problems last year and was just clearly not himself. So I'm not like totally like panicking about Kyle Seager. I do think it was a very flukish year. He had some weird BABIP luck, which was also kind of shift related. So hopefully he can get past that. But I'm not nearly as worried about Kyle Seager as I am about some of the other guys on the roster.
Ooh, I am worried about Kyle Seager because I saw a video of some blast motion that his brother was capturing for him, which blast motion gives you, like, the swing speed, and, you know, you want to be, like, 75-ish as a major leaguer, I would say, 75 to 80. 75, 78, something like that.
It's a sort of range, but
yes, yeah. Okay, it's a range. But Kyle was at 69, which is not nice.
I disagree.
Not nice.
69 blast motion? Come on. Come on. I will say, like, I'm not worried. Like, I don't think Kyle is obviously going to become 2014 Kyle Seager again, but I do think that just, like, a clean bill of health and maybe a clearer mind and a fire under his enormous ass will help things. Maybe, like, you know, like a 2.5 win season seems reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
That might be a take, but I do love takes. So, again, if I'm right, Venmo me a large sum of money.
Yeah. Kyle's numbers last year, I mean, with the shift, are just abysmal. Like, he was still an above average hitter last year when he had runners on base, because essentially he wasn't being shifted on, and you know, those liners into right field would land and not into the glove of the second baseman. So I'm not out on Kyle as a bounce back candidate, because I do think that his health and his ability to drive will be improved by having two fully healthy feet. But you know, he's not in an age where you get better. Typically, he's in the age range where things start to slip, and it's really, you know, we talked about there's a lot of question marks at the second base position, and at third base there aren't question marks. There just aren't. There's no marks. There's nothing. There's not.
There's one who's coming to take Kyle Seager's job.
Exactly.
Which is not a good thing.
And that's, you know, that's not the end of the world. I mean, the Mariners have...
Tim Beckham could take his job, I guess. Shed Long could probably take his job. I mean, there, any of these guys that we've been talking about in the middle infield could theoretically go take his job at third, but...
I think the likely... I guess my eye on it is that the third baseman of the Mariners the third baseman that's there when the Mariners are competing next is not in the Mariners organization.
And I agree. If you look down in the system, it's like you've got 20-year-old Joe Rizzo at High A and Bobby Honeyman, who is, I think, just went to A-ball last year.
Yes.
2018 draftee. So, I mean, that's kind of it.
Yeah, you've got a minor league free agent in Tim Lopes, who once was a Mariners prospect and now is a guy who's in his second or third year in AAA and is okay, is not terrible, but has sort of that, more of a utility profile than an everyday third base.
Brandon Liebhaber, who was the announcer for when the Mariners AA affiliate was in Jackson, Tennessee, loved Tim Lopes. Huge Tim Lopes fan. Like, just always thought he had a real chance. Was really bummed when we traded him for Pat Venditti. Which, ouch. But yeah, I mean, he's older. He's probably a replacement level guy. Hopefully he's, what, Tyler Smith. Tyler Smith? Is that Tyler Smith?
That indeed was one of them.
That was a guy.
Ethan,
yeah.
our former...
That was a human.
Former LL prospect analyst Ethan Novak, also big Tim Lopes enthusiast. And, you know, he's 24. He'll be 25 midway through, or I guess in this summer, but... You know, he was around an average hitter in AAA last year. So, you know, not like a disaster, but, and someone who's still fast and could improve, but is more of a utility profile than a, than someone like Kyle Seager was, who just tore it up all the way up. Yeah. And especially for how good and how deep third base is as a position league wide right now, it takes a lot to stack up. And just league wide, there's not that much talent at first base right now. For instance, there just aren't that many stars at first base. There are probably 15 star level players at third base in baseball right now. And the Mariners not only don't have a star right now, unless Seager really returns to form.
Right.
They may just not even have a starter in their organization beyond him. And that's worrisome. And that, honestly, if down the road, I think is somewhere they either will have to spend money or they will have to trade in sort of a buy sense from their farm if they're trying to compete. And that's unfortunate, unless someone takes a real step forward.
Also, is third base as full of stars as it was? I mean, I know for years we've been talking about third base being a stacked position, but is it anymore?
I would say yes. If we go like division by division, AL West has Chapman and Bregman. Beltre's gone, obviously. The Angels have Cozart, who's not really a star, but he was
washed.
A little bit.
No, wait. Did they? Isn't he gone? Didn't they trade him? No, that was Kinsler. No, that was also Kinsler. Washed.
Cozart
also won a Gold Glove. Very weird year for Ian Kinsler.
Such a weird year. But what?
Yeah, the AL Central has Jose Ramirez, who kind of just plays every position, but was like the second best player in baseball last year, inexplicably. There's Andujar and...
Who is not great defensively.
Not great defensively, that's true.
I mean, he's a good hitter, but I would say that I have some question marks around Andujar. I have some question marks around Devers.
Vlad Jr.
I mean, if he ever gets to play.
That's right. and then like NL, you've got Matt Carpenter. You've got...
Arenado is probably where I would have started.
Yeah, Arenado is Carpenter. Yeah,
I was trying to go division by division, but... There's Justin Turner,
yes.
Rendon is very good.
Yep.
Chris Bryant is probably going to be amazing again.
Yep.
Do we have blast motion data on Christopher Negron? I would love to see that. What is his blast motion looking like?
I would love to know why Christopher Negron has survived cut after cut on this roster. To bring it back to the Mariners a little bit.
You can't teach heart. That's a big one.
We do have Christopher Negron hanging out.
He's got one heart.
Somehow survived every DFA so I don't know if there's like a hot Christopher Negron market that we don't know about.
The fact that Dylan Moore exists.
Oh yeah, Dylan Moore.
Which isn't interesting. I'm sorry, Dylan. Maybe you're delightful, and I hope you are. But
yeah, I'm shocked he even made the podcast.
Dylan Moore is technically probably the third string third baseman. Like, I don't know. Like, I guess he's gonna be just like a utility guy, but like. Also, so is Negron, and also so is Tim Beckham.
Are they maybe just like throwing a bunch of stuff at the wall and praying something works out? Like, maybe one of them has an off-season hitting coach who's like, I don't know. I mean, we're all kind of past put the ball in the air, but maybe there's some other great like nugget of information out there that could unlock something huge. I mean, why not? It's our turn to have like a breakout star, right? Like Chris Taylor goes away and is a star for the Dodgers.
Yeah, we could really use one of those, or three of those.
One, I would settle for like one big breakout, like just a guy coming out of nowhere. Because it feels like forever since the Mariners had a guy coming out of nowhere. I mean, maybe you could say that's Haniger, but they kind of knew what they had in Haniger, I think, and deliberately targeted him.
So. Yeah. We do have a guy who is from another organization who is relatively unknown and is new to the Mariners. His name is Omar Narvaez. Am I saying that right?
Narvaez.
Yeah.
I know.
Narvdog, maybe. We'll work on some nicknames.
Narwhal?
Yeah, sure.
Let's have like a really cute...
That's once he gets good at blocking.
Bye, buddy. Hope you find your dad.
Yeah, but he is of the like, you know, maybe you just need to get out of sort of a moribund organization like the White Sox. Don't have a sterling reputation.
Wait, I have things to say about that. As far as White Sox catching goes,
sure.
Hit us with the deets, the hot goss.
Well, is it AJ Pierzynski really related? Hot goss, but like, remember when Marjama came? Mike Marjama, sweet, dearly departed Mike Marjama. He came from the White Sox to the Rays, and I talked to him when he first became a Mariner, and he said like, when he was a White Sox, no one ever talked to him about pitch framing. And he got to the Rays and they were like, what do you mean you haven't heard about this? And he was like, I don't know. And so they basically taught him how to be a catcher. And from what I have heard, Omar Narvaez is the same. Like, he showed up and they were like, so, you know, we want to work with you about this. And he was like, I don't know what you're talking about. So that is part of why there's a lot of organizational excitement around him. And I think it is because the White Sox kind of suck at developing catchers.
Yeah. I mean, I hope you are correct.
In my limited sample size of two catchers that I know of who have come over from the White Sox organization, both of them have said, I was not taught this very basic catcher skill. So,
you know what's funny, actually, now that I'm thinking about it, I believe Tyler Flowers is another one. Didn't he start with the White Sox and then became like an expert pitch framer with the Braves? Or did I get the order wrong there? No,
I think you're right. Let me double check, but I think that
So it sounds
right.
Like maybe like Hawk Harrelson is the White Sox catching coordinator. And he's like, now you're going to want to catch the ball. Like, that's it.
Is that that's your Hawk Harrelson
impression? No, I can't really do a Hawk Harrelson. That's not my genre of impression.
You were 100% right. Flowers went
He started with the Braves, then he went to the White Sox, and then went back to the Braves.
And was like an analytics darling, I remember, in one of those years with the Braves. Like, getting down ballot MVP consideration, which seemed like an overreaction, but like was very good at pitch framing immediately after leaving Chicago.
Yeah, I believe that is exactly how that worked. So
we did get a question about this, by the way, from Joseph Alton, who said, how will I learn to love Narvaez and say goodbye to Zunino? To mind a related question. How will I learn to love salad and leave behind Salisbury steak after being diagnosed with diabetes? First of all, salad is a scam. We all know this. I'm sorry about the diabetes. That is tough. None of us are doctors, so I would say refer to someone else on health questions.
With diabetes? I didn't know that was a big no diabetes food.
Yeah, again, I'm not an expert here, but
is Salisbury steak? Because like, I know it's a meat based on the context clues, but I have never actually.
Have you never had a Hungry Man dinner, dog?
Is it one of those like meats in quotations where it's like we don't really know what this is, or is it just like a special kind of steak?
No,
Is it mince pie related? Because I've never also known what mince pie is. I actually just kind of wanted to get a British food like culture lesson here real quick.
Mince pie. What are you talking about? Mince pie is like minced meats, like nut meats.
Well, now hang on. What's a nut meat?
That's like your...
Don't answer that.
When you crack open a nut, the sweet and tasty part inside is your nut meats. Come
that's
on.
Not
this
a
is
meat.
An No, it is absolutely a that's absolutely
in
a cooking
a nut?
Term. Yes. The edible
that's
part of
me-
the nut
okay.
is the nut meat. Just don't question me on this. We have only so much time.
Okay, but
all right, so
that, then
Salisbury okay,
steak could
Salisbury,
definitely
okay.
not be real meat.
Yes, I'm going to explain Salisbury steak. Just be patient. Salisbury steak is made from ground beef. So it's basically like hamburger. It's also called hamburger steak. Have you ever had hamburger steak?
Sure haven't.
It's just like if you take ground beef and you try to prepare it like it's a steak. Because you have some financial restrictions.
Okay,
no,
so my advice would just be to never eat this. Like, don't eat it ever. Salad isn't a lot better, but I guess try that. I don't know. To answer the question that this guy had.
Yes, okay, let's... Can we talk about the baseball, please?
He wanted to know, how can I learn to love Narvaez and say goodbye to Zunino? It's pretty simple. Narvaez is like the opposite of Zunino, so everything that you hated about Mike Zunino, hopefully Narvaez can do. He led all American League catchers last year in OBP, minimum 300 plate appearances. But that's very encouraging. He gets on base. He doesn't strike out a whole lot. And he's left-handed hitting, so the complete opposite of Mike Zunino in those respects. His defense is also shaky, so again, kind of bizarro Mike Zunino. But if you wanted to shake things up at catcher, this is pretty much like exactly how you would do that.
If you liked John Jaso but didn't like white people in dreads, you will be fine with Omar Narvaez. Like, that's basically what you're getting. And then also maybe we might be able to teach him to actually play defense well. So that's sort of... It's going to be fine.
Narvaez seems to be a real little sweetie, too. He's very excited to be a Mariner, and he's excited to be out of the White Sox organization, which I feel like shows that he has some good values.
Yeah. Unless you're Jose Abreu, I think you should be excited to be out of the White Sox organization.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited about Narv. Narvaez is going to be a fun addition, I think. I did write this a couple weeks, maybe about a month ago. One thing, if the Mariners are just out of it by like August, just put him in the leadoff spot. Like, see what happens. I would love a catcher hitting leadoff, because that
Jason Kendall vibe.
Yeah, Jaso also did it. John Jaso. Craig Biggio did it when he was a catcher. It's very rare, though. Paul LaDuca had some spells, but if Malik struggles and we don't have a true leadoff guy, might as well let Omar do it. Yeah.
I think it's been interesting that we haven't seen them make any move yet for a third/second catcher/first catcher. I think
Joe DiCarlo, baby.
Wait, do you not consider Jose Lobaton to be that?
Well, I think he might be, but he's not. But he's currently, I mean, he's on a minors deal, so he's not on the 40 man. So like right now, they just don't have a third catcher on the 40 man, which typically teams have three catchers at minimum on their 40 mans. And
yeah, that's true.
That might just be Lobaton, which it would be fine with me. I mean, that's, you know, it's essentially the Tuffy Gosewish Memorial
Joey
40-man spot.
Joey Deeks.
He's going to need some time. He's like just became a catcher like yesterday.
Okay, he also hasn't spent any time in AAA at all, but whatever. I'm all in on Joe DiCarlo.
They have Aaron Nola's brother also.
Right, and our thick son, Cal Raleigh.
Yes,
and one day Cal Raleigh. Yeah, that's sort of the long game of the Mariners system is Cal Raleigh will get there in a few years, and that will sort of be the final piece of the puzzle that will light up, and then there'll be a playoff team. I think that's like as much as I can envision it. Like, Cal Raleigh feels like the one who is going to be the last one to arrive, and then he'll be ready, because that dude can hit, but he may just need some time.
And
to
he can receive.
Yeah, he I think he's solid, but I think they will take their time with him, hopefully, as a catcher.
Yeah, he's currently in Arizona singing Baby Shark with his roommates Jing Chang and Logan Gilbert. Like,
I'm a big fan of all of it.
Spending
yeah,
their
he sounds
Saturday
like he has
nights,
great taste.
Yeah.
Spending their Saturday nights projecting light onto the wall and making Baby Shark hand puppets. Because 18/20. Like,
yeah, miners gonna miners.
Very, very young. A very young crop.
Indeed.
But, you know, let them build up all that good feelings together and camaraderie and teammanship and whatever.
Can't teach it.
And, you know,
it's gotta happen organically.
So watch those guys in the minors, enjoy them, dream on them, but they're all a few years off.
Don't dream
too much on Jose Lobaton.
No, not that. No, I was specifically talking about the Cal Raleigh window. Which,
Lobaton,
you know,
did hit a walk-off home run in the playoffs once, so something to consider.
There you go. Just like David Ross.
I don't think his was a walk-off.
No, his just was a homer, inexplicably.
Yeah. While we're talking prospects, we got a question from John Dudigian. There's no way I said that right.
John Doohickey?
No, I don't know. Doodigian. Doodigian. John Didgeridoo. He wants to know, who will be in the Rainiers infield / will Evan White get a call up?
No, Evan White will not get a call up this year, I don't think. Things would have to go real wrong.
I think to Tacoma he could, if that's what they mean, but assuming...
That might be what they meant.
No, we will not see... I don't even think we see him in the Rainiers. Because they really practice that idea of like liking to keep guys together as a team. And I think the Arkansas Travelers ideally are pretty good this year and try to contend for that Texas League title. And Evan Light leads them to that. But I don't think you see him in Tacoma. Triple A in general, and especially with like the fact that none of our prospects are really there except for like Justice and Shed, maybe Swanson, I guess. Like AAA is just kind of a weird holding pen for the majors, so I wouldn't accord too much import to who you see there.
So who can they expect to see at AAA in the infield?
We'll see Shed to start the year, certainly, mm-hmm. and maybe for the whole year. I think we'll see J.P. Crawford there for some amount of time. That's not zero.
Yeah, they need 5 weeks there, basically, I think, until they just get an extra year of control over him. Yeah. And miraculously, he'll be ready for the bigs.
Miraculously.
Yeah, it's crazy how that works.
Dylan Moore will be ready to be sent back.
Yeah,
I mean, you might see Healy. I guess we talked about that. Healy could be playing first, could be playing third.
It'll be him and Joey Curletta will be two people sharing at first base, most likely, mm-hmm. Which I'm actually quite excited to see because Curletta sort of made a big change and made a huge impact and went essentially from being on the outs of prospecthood to being a legitimate first base prospect. And he's not... he's not unathletic, so you could maybe still see him shifting every once in a while to the corner outfield spots as well.
DiCarlo behind the dish probably / spending time with Lobaton or whoever else is there, but
and Nola.
They're gonna want to give him plate appearances though, and he has already been at AAA or at AA and put up like a decent WRC plus as a catcher in AA, so I don't know how much more of his time you can waste there, really.
I think you're right that he'll be in AAA. I hope you're right that he'll be in AAA, because I think that's where the better pitchers, just depth-wise, will be, and I think that's most important.
Yes.
In terms of third base, it will be probably Tim Lopes, and then depth-wise, I don't know for sure. That you'll probably have Dylan Moore, if Dylan Moore's not there and Christopher Negron is in there. And you'll have potentially Dustin Ackley.
Oh my god, I forgot all of my
god about him.
That reaction just tells you everything you need to know about them having Dustin Ackley on the actual organization depth chart.
Oh boy. Just warm bodies. Needed warm bodies.
I think that's probably all that you're
Felia,
really
you've got Felia probably playing some first base.
Yes,
outfield
that's a good point. And you'll probably have Chris Mariscal.
Yes, my son. Chris Mariscal will take second base, third base. He can, and he is like legitimately fun. I should have spent more time talking about Chris Mariscal because he's not regarded as a prospect, but I love him. So
I think Felia, in large part because there's such a logjam already at first base, I think they are likely going to try and keep him stretched in the corner outfield.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's outfielders there as well. I mean, we haven't gotten too much in depth to it. We'll get into more depth there, but
Donnie Walton is running around out there somewhere too, although he missed Donnie Walton and Logan Taylor are both infield prospects. Mm-hmm. Both have missed time with injury. I don't expect to see them at Tacoma to begin the year. Mm. They'll probably be at AA. But you might see one of those two.
Well, we're just shouting out prospects. I gotta shed some love on Nicky Three Sticks, Nick Zamorelli the third.
Three Sticks.
Love his versatility. He can play first and third, corner, and outfield. Yeah. Love his family on Twitter. And he seems to be pretty all right at baseball, too. His slugging percentage went up as he supposedly embraced the launch angle thing. So keep doing you, Nicky Three Sticks, and we'll keep making Andre 3000 Photoshop edits for you.
Hey, he was just in Trevor Williams's, I think, spinal cord damage charities. A friend of his was afflicted with that, and he was in the Dingers in the Desert
home run derby.
Yep, yeah. And he hit double-digit homers in his, I think he had 10 or 12 in his first round, and he beat Matt Davidson, who I guess is now a pitcher, so whatever.
Yeah, he's focusing too much on pitching and forgot how to hit.
Yeah. But anyway, that's, yeah, that was exciting to see Nicky. Nicky Three Sticks. We are big Nicky Three Sticks fans, but he just finished at Modesto, so he will be in Arkansas next year. Won't see him for a little while.
The only other person that you might see is Orlando Calixte, who is the only member of the Mariners organization with a World Series ring.
That's huge.
He played for 2 or 3 games on the 2015 Royals, and that's all you need. So there's some veteran leadership there, but obviously that's too many guys. I think probably Calixte, Ackley, and I don't even know if they're. I mean, maybe Mariscal. Mariscal probably sticks around, but probably a couple of the minor league free agent guys don't make it just because there's only so much depth you can have there, and the Mariners actually have sort of a glut of decently talented players that need reps and not that many backups that they can fill the roster out with, so which is a good problem to be beginning to encounter.
Yes.
I think one more thing to look out for, it's not in Tacoma, but Juan Caracuto and Noelvi Marte are two of the more well-regarded infield prospects anywhere in the system, and they both are ostensibly shortstops right now. Marte in particular is looked at as someone who will likely shift to third base as he grows bigger and stronger.
Who might shift?
Yes,
because he's already. I mean, he might be at max capacity at like 6'1". He's a big kid, but
yeah, he's 17, so he's like he could grow.
He might not. Julio was done growing at like 16, so
it's true.
You know, he might have just like done all his growing and then be done with it.
That's true. But I think that, yeah, one way or the other.
The bigger concern is he has some refinements that he has to make with at the shortstop position that Caracuto is not seen as having to make. He's a very, according to reports, I haven't seen him play, but he is apparently a very fluid, natural-looking shortstop who most scouts think will stick at the position. Marte is more of a question mark.
This is the part where I remind everyone that middle infield is probably the driest part of the minor league system, and the Mariners did trade Bryson Brigman to get Cameron Maybin.
Oh!
Yeah, just something to remember, you know, in case you were feeling a little too happy.
Feeling too good. I was scouting some, I was trying to pull up some stuff about a guy that we were writing up as one of our top prospects, and it just so happened that it was a game against the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp or whatever ridiculous team names they have, and Bryson Brigman was up to bat, and I had to watch him hit a single against the pitcher I was scouting. It felt pretty bad. Felt bad.
Well, we can end on this, then. A question that can make us feel bad for another organization. This comes from Zach Mason, who asked on Twitter, not exactly the point, but I'd love your takes on Ketel Marte, center fielder.
Whatever, because it's not the Mariners. It's probably going to work out, right?
It's going to be hilarious. Like, Arizona's a big outfield, isn't it?
And it is.
And it's Ketel Marte.
It is.
It's a lot to ask. Because, like, Ketel actually had, like, a pretty decent year last year. But, like, we saw pretty clearly what happens when he gets asked to do much more than he can chew. And I think it's going to be a real steep learning curve. I mean, Arizona's going to suck, so it's hardly going to matter. Like, Arizona's going to be terrible, and they're going to, you know, the Padres are going to be probably also bad, and the Dodgers are, and the Giants are going to be terrible. So, like, the Rockies are going to be okay, and then the Dodgers are just going to curb stomp everyone in the division. So it's hardly going to really matter, but, like, yeah, that's a big ask to just cover that gigantic outfield. So I think we're going to see, like, a couple highlight plays where he, like, gets a weird read and then makes diving catches on balls that, like, hung in the air for 15 seconds. And then we're going to see some funky routes that might lead to some inside the barkers.
Yeah, this is a classic, like, watching your ex and being like, if things work out, I'm happy for you. But if they don't, I'm going to laugh. Like, that's exactly what this feels like.
In baseball justice, I feel like the Diamondbacks not being willing to, like, buy Bryce Harper or AJ Pollock back to be in their outfield.
Or re-up, like, JD Martinez, who they already had.
Or, yeah, like, the Diamondbacks have been pinching some pennies, and, like, I feel like karmically, that should hurt them. Like, they should not be rewarded for going cheap with something that they already had in-house by asking Ketel Marte, who is an infielder, to become a super utility player.
Y'all remember they traded Paul Goldschmidt to the Cardinals? Because I forget that like, constantly.
Oh, I don't remember that. Because somehow the Cardinals system ranks higher than the Mariners system. Wait, is that true? I want to say Keith Law might have actually put them behind us.
It's tough with that. And like, because you don't get the benefit of J.P. Crawford, and you don't get, but that's sort of a weird one. Because they have, like, so many, like, average-ish players, but no one that's that interesting. And, like, somehow Tyler O'Neill probably still counts for that.
Does he? Oh, I don't know.
He counted for Baseball America's prospect list, as did
he should not count.
As did Alex Reyes, inexplicably.
Alex Reyes played any?
Once Alex Reyes records one out, he will no longer be eligible. But he is literally on the exact precipice of Baseball America's cutoff, and so he's their number one prospect.
Oh, that's crazy.
Like the fifth time.
Law has the Cardinals at 17. Which I think is, I had some real questions about where he did, like, 17, 18, 19, all the way up to the Mariners. Yeah, I think, and I don't think this is homerism, I think he had the Mariners too low. Like, I don't think the Royals have a better system, I'm sorry. I don't think the Rangers have a better system. I don't think the Yankees have a better system anymore, but they're the Yankees. The Tigers, I think, are better. And I don't know about the Cardinals. I mean, man, his justification is that they restocked with the trades of Tommy Pham and Oscar Mercado, which, Oscar Mercado, really? Like, what did he bring back? There's some depth here in outfielders and back in, anyway, this doesn't matter, but I thought that that was a little bizarre, that post the Goldschmidt trade should have cleaned them out more than I think this is. And also because it's been such a weird offseason, we haven't really talked about that. Like, I feel like even the Kikuchi news should have been a big deal, but, like, somehow weirdly has been overshadowed by these other big storylines of the offseason of guys not getting paid, basically.
Yes. It did happen on New Year's Eve, too, like, hours before UW played in the Rose Bowl. So the local media was kind of distracted.
Absolutely.
Well, it was, like, one of the bigger free agent signings, but it was, like, to a team that actually wasn't really trying, and so it was, like, kind of hard to know how to deal with that of, like, well, this isn't necessarily going to matter this year that much, so, like, how to, even though it's potentially going to be very important down the line. Hopefully it's going to be very important down the line. But yeah.
Right. It's also the Mariners, and like, James Paxton is apparently poised for a breakout year.
Hey, finally.
It's like, yeah, about time.
Yeah, you know, 16 strikeouts in a game and a no-hitter, like, that doesn't really do it for me. He's not going to break out until he does it on the East Coast.
Until he's wearing pinstripes, 100%. Yeah, I mean, it's, I don't know, it's a little... So anyway, those are my feelings about... To loop it all back, I feel like, karmically, the Diamondbacks should not be rewarded for being cheap. But because they're not the Mariners, I feel like he's going to be great, and it's going to bring up a bunch of unpleasant Chris Taylor comparisons all over again, and everyone's going to be like, we all knew Chris Taylor was great. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. No, you didn't.
Can I ask you guys one more thing right before we finish here?
Please.
Yeah.
What do we think the 2021, like, mid-season infield is, like, starting infield, so third base, shortstop, second base, first base, DH, catcher, what do we think it is?
Okay.
Oh man.
And it doesn't have to, if you think it's just going to be someone that's not on the team yet, that's fine, you can say just general filler there.
Oh man. Okay. 2021, I think we're definitely looking at Crawford at short and Shed Long at second. I would hope that it's Evan White at first, especially if it's agree. Like, if we're talking, yes, like, the team, like, when it all comes together, like, Cubs style, where it's all of our prospects at the same time. Third base, I feel like it would have to be someone outside the organization, unless Kyle Seager is on steroids or something.
Get on that Blake Griffin plan, right?
Oh, whoa, 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 whoa! That's... They don't know about that yet. Yeah, I guess the cat's out of the bag. For anyone who's watching the NBA this year, I think Blake Griffin is on steroids. For fear of slandering him, Blake Griffin, if you're listening, I'll fight you. Yeah, I said it. I'll fight
Venmo,
Blake Griffin.
Hey, put his your Venmo.
But only if he's had he has time more to than get enough money.
Blake Griffin, if you're on steroids and I'm right, you have to Venmo me your salary.
There's definitely every incentive.
Yeah, but I don't think Kyle Seager is going to be... I mean, unless he, like, turns it around completely, which seems unlikely. I don't think he's part of the next playoff team, unfortunately.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Bobby Honeyman, secretly.
Wow.
Just shooting his way up through the ranks to be the third baseman. No, I have no idea. I think they trade some outfield depth at some point to get some infield help. Or maybe... they pony up and pay some money to get somebody who can play over there, because now I think the market inefficiency is actually paying free agents. But I agree. I think, like, Cal Raleigh, Evan White, Shed Long, hopefully J.P. Crawford. And then they've just got to probably pay someone at third base. But they won't do that. They'll trade for someone.
Yeah, I think y'all are right. And I think I'm very excited to see a lot of these players this year, because it is, you do get the opportunity to kind of not stress on a day-to-day basis about things when the team isn't necessarily trying to compete. And so it is so much about the process of watching players develop.
Yeah, and watching, very relaxing.
Watching guys like Crawford and watching through the minors, and, you know, we'll have a ton of analysis of this on a pretty consistent basis on the site for guys like Long and White and, you know, Curletta and Rizzo in the minors. But I think there's a lot to be excited about with this group, even if it's less talented than the outfielders and less maybe big name filled than the pitcher, the yes. pitch, sort of pitching group. But yeah. All right. Well, thank you both for coming on and talking. You've joined me here as though it were not the thing that we do all together every week, but you've come on this time to join me, so that's been
so
delightful.
So hard to just talk for off the top of my head for an hour
about baseball, which we really just Yeah, we needed a real break to finally get to chat about this. Thank you to you all for listening, for sending in questions, for giving us feedback. We're always up for feedback, up for more questions if you
have. Thank you for sending us questions. I'm sorry if we didn't get to your question, but we were really trying to get these things down to like about an hour as opposed to an hour and a half, just because that's easier for you, the listener, and it's easier for us to edit it. So if you did send a question and we didn't read it, please keep sending them. We will get to all your questions.
Yes.
Well, Matthew, Kate, anything you guys want to finish out on here?
Kyle Seager, 2019 MVP.
Oh wow, are we hot taking? Are we infield hot taking?
Yeah, we're incinerating everyone on our way out.
Okay,
let's light the infield on fire.
Infield hot taking. I think J.P. Crawford doesn't pan out as a Mariner.
Wow, that's a sad one. That's,
it's a sad one. I'm sorry.
All right. Well, here's my hype. 2020, Shed Long and J.P. Crawford are combining for 50 dingers.
Oh,
wow.
Wow.
I love it. We've covered all of the take corners.
You just swung things in entirely a different direction.
We had to get him. I'm sorry. All right. We did have Kyle Seager, 2019 MVP, on a team that's assuredly going to win 77 games. So,
hey, you don't know.
I guess if Kyle Seager's MVP quality, probably they're not.
I mean,
probably
you can't shift against home runs, John. So
That's true. Put Mike Trout in the stands.
That He's 69 just, bat speed is just.
We love it.
Good enough. All right. Well, thank you all. Have a good night and go M's. I am not a man.